broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on this Thursday, July the 14th, 2022, 14 minutes past the hour, 67 degrees and fog here in Marion. Not the greatest morning, and I was out this morning. If you are in the city, it's foggy. I can't imagine what it's like in the county. So a foggy summer morning here in Marion, Ohio. I do want to remind everybody, Glenn Coble will be on today from 10:15. Until 1 p.m. Don't miss a minute of that. Glenn Coble right here on WWGH Radio. And remember, you can hear us on the dial at 107.1 FM, but you can also pick us up on the internet live, WWGH1071.com, or you can download the free TuneIn app, and it is absolutely free on any mobile device, by going to TuneIn and searching WWGH, and you can get that on your cell phone, your tablet, your laptop, your smart television, your Dot, your Alexa, all those things can pick up the TuneIn app, and it doesn't cost you anything to listen to WWGH Radio. So we're very happy with that. Hope the ice cream social went well last night. I did not get a chance to get out to the Salem Church, but I hope it went well. Hope they had a great turnout. I know the year before I was able to attend that event, and they did have a great turnout, so hopefully last night was the same. Do want to remind everybody that we do have the Caledonia Farmers Market coming up this weekend, and every weekend this summer that is over in Caledonia in the square, and take advantage of that on Saturdays. Now, as we continue on this morning, certainly the talk out of City Council recently has been, the most publicized story has been that of Charter City. Yesterday, we had Pastor Brett Cornelius, City Council person at large, who seems to be leading the charge for this Charter City, on with us for 45 minutes. That was a very interesting conversation. I hope people enjoyed. Here's where we are right now. It has left committee. It will be put in front of City Council for a vote. Now, usually things on City Council have to have three readings and then a vote. Now, rules can be suspended and special meetings can be called, but the time frame right now is August 10th to get this on the ballot. To discuss what we learned yesterday and maybe a little more from somebody with a perspective on the Charter City issue in front of Marion City Council, we're glad to welcome to these microphones Third Ward City Councilman Jason Schauber. Jason, how are you?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you doing today?
Doing well. It's been a while since we've spoken. Hope everything's good and you're having a good summer.
Yep, just living the dream.
Jason, here we are with Charter City. It gets out of committee. It's going to be put in front of City Council. Let's just start here, basically, before we get into the meat of this. Did you think it would get out of committee and get in front of Council?
Yes.
Okay. Your understanding, because a lot of people are confused, what is a Charter City?
It's a different form of government that is opposite of a statutory city, where the state representatives and the state tell, because we're a statutory city now, the state sets laws and we got to follow. The Charter City can kind of set their own path, but they still have to follow general law.
Now, it's my understanding that time frame with this is becoming a major issue. Today is June the 14th.
Correct.
June the 18th, there is not a scheduled City Council meeting, and this has to be on the ballot, and 15, I think, if I'm correct, 15 people would have to have petitions filed for this to work by August the 10th. Is that correct?
That is my understanding, that it needs to be an ordinance asking to put a charter before the city and elect commissioners needs to, and the deadline for the Board of Elections would be August 10th. Now, the ordinance to get over to the Board of Elections could possibly be done, but I don't know how 15 folks are going to go out and get 25 to 50 signatures to be put on the ballot to be voted on to be commissioners on the commission.
Now, at this point, the way the schedule goes, I'm looking at here, and I don't have the full schedule, but I know there's no scheduled meeting this Monday. So the next one would be the 25th. That would be the first reading. Then we have the first and the eighth. Now, are those both council meetings? Do you know at this point?
Those were regular scheduled council meetings.
So there could be three before the 10th.
Yeah, well, three members of council can call a special meeting at any time they want with proper notice and clearly state their agenda. But that can be called at any time.
So let's start there. Do you believe that Monday there will be a special council meeting, or have you been asked about this?
I have not been asked. Now, this coming Monday would be a regular Monday for committees. As of right now, there's not any business for any of the committees, which is kind of rare. So there won't be any committees meeting. So if they wanted to call a special meeting, I mean, that Monday would be the Monday to do it, but I haven't heard from anyone. But it only takes three council members, so maybe it's three of the committee that's planning on doing that, or they don't know how to go about getting the special meeting called. I don't know.
Now, it is Thursday. Is there a time frame that those three people would have to notify people to be at that meeting if it were called?
Yes, there needs to be a 24-hour notice, and then all council members need to be served by a police officer for that council meeting.
So
if they wanted to call a meeting Monday, they could essentially wait until Sunday, whenever 24 hours before they want to call a meeting, and call it, and then that kind of puts the pressure on the clerk, because then she has to get the agenda, make the meeting notifications, and then arrange for an officer to serve each individual council member.
So where we sit now, before August the 10th, there are four chances for council meetings. Is that correct?
There's you can have a council meeting any day you want.
Any day of the week. So it doesn't have to be on Monday.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, any day of the week, a special meeting can be called.
Okay, so now, that being said, the other thing that would have to happen is there would have to be a suspension of the rules to get past this three-reading rule, because that could be a big hang-up as well here.
Correct, yes. If they just go the regular scheduled council meeting route, and as you pointed out, there's only two before August 10th, on August 8th, that council meeting, they would have to suspend the three readings rule, and that takes seven members of council to do.
Do you think there are, that's quite a few.
There
are seven members of council at this point, with Kai Mead resigning tomorrow because of leaving the first ward, to suspend the meeting rule? Would you vote to suspend meeting rules?
No, I don't think there is, and I would not, because, and I'm on the record, the most recent charter committee meeting that they had, I stood up and said that I didn't have the appetite to do any special meetings to push this through, nor would I suspend the rule.
So at this point, with you voting that way and Kai leaving on Friday, are there enough votes to do that?
Well, and I'm not, I don't want to speak for someone else, but just my opinion of what someone else would think. I don't think Mike Thomas is for it. So there's your third person. There's a third person that probably wouldn't suspend the rules. I'm going to guess. I don't know if Ayers is for it, so that could be your fourth. So there would they can't suspend the rules if my opinion of how Thomas and Ayers are thinking, so then they can't suspend the rules.
So at this point, just to make this clear to the audience, you are a no for suspending the rules. And and Brett said yesterday on the show that he's going to try to convince Mike Thomas of this, but he believed that Mike Thomas was not going to vote for a charter city. So if you and Mike did not vote to suspend the rules at this point could not be suspended. Is that correct?
So it would be, well, if you take away Kai, because it's 7 votes of the elected body. 7 affirmative votes of the elected body. So there's 9 council members, but Kai resigned, so his vote is gone. So that would be, I would consider that a no vote on suspension. Myself and Thomas, there's 3. There's still a chance. They still have 7 that could potentially vote to suspend rules. That's why I said I don't know how Ayers feels, but I would think by conversation through committees and in that he probably wouldn't suspend the rules. So I don't think there's a chance that rules will be suspended. So they would have to go a special meeting route to get the 3 readings.
Okay. So, could they be called Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? Is that something that could possibly happen?
Yes. Yes. That's okay. Been done in the past. Yes.
Okay. So when we come right down to this, how important is timing right now?
Timing is the most important thing, and I don't know why it became an issue of timing. Because if you go back, because this is a campaign promise for Brett Cornelius, and I respect him for campaigning, saying I'm going to do this, and he's trying to get it done. But I got emails back in right after the election. It was either late November, early December. Mr. Neff, before he's even sworn in to council, is making connections with Gary Hunter, telling the clerk to schedule certain meetings, and he's not even sworn in, nor is he a member of any of these committees that he's wanting Gary Hunter to present charter cities in front of. So they knew about this, and they was pushing for this last year. So why is timing an issue? Why are we rushing this through? That's the question. That I don't know. I have a thought why it is, but timing should not be an issue at all at this point. But it is.
What would be your thought as to why this is being rushed through?
So I'm a straightforward type of guy, and I don't filter a whole lot of. I don't filter my language, and so I don't know how to put it without being rude or offensive to someone. I just don't think they know, the members of the charter committee, just they don't know what to do or how to do it.
Well,
they've been council members for multiple years.
Well, this comes to an issue because I do want to straighten this part out because the mayor was on June the 28th, and this came up. As a matter of fact, I think the mayor brought it up when he was on the program during his monthly meeting, and he said up until June 28th that he never opposed a charter city, but that up until June 28th, and I haven't talked to him since then, but that's not too long ago, that he
right.
had never seen up until that point or been given a reason as to why Marion needed to be a charter city. And when I asked him if he would veto this, which would really put the brakes on it in a big way timing-wise, he said he didn't know. He didn't say yes, he would. He didn't say no, he wouldn't. Now, when I had Brett on yesterday, I would have to check the tape, but I believe Brett said that the mayor could not veto it, but we were notified by city council, or city hall, let's say, pretty quickly that, yes, the mayor can veto a 2/3 vote in council. Council would have to meet within 10 days to reconsider, and they must have a two-thirds vote. So time does become an issue, but as opposed to what was heard yesterday, the mayor can veto this even if there is a two-thirds vote. Yes, is that correct?
Yeah, as far as I understand, the mayor can veto anything he wants, and he can line item veto, and he's done the line item veto, and that took us to the Supreme Court with the municipal courts. So there is a process, like you pointed out, that if it is vetoed, that council can override, and it is correct. You got to do it within 10 days. And the other thing, that the timing issue that probably no one's looking at or even understands, is the ordinance to put the charter in front of the electorate has an emergency clause. And that emergency clause, some think that once it's passed, it goes into immediate effect, which that's close but not quite accurate. So with the emergency clause, it still can sit for 10 days. And it still requires a certain number of votes. I think it's 6 for the emergency clause to be in effect, 6 votes. And then it still requires a signature of a mayor. Now, if the mayor signs it that night, then it goes in effect. But he has up until 10 days to either sign it or not. Then if he doesn't sign it, that's kind of considered a pocket veto. So they really got to look at their schedule and their timing and understand all the nuances, I guess, of council and council rules and how things function.
With the way things are right now, and none of us have a crystal ball, but with the timing, with the council members that you know, with the mayor, with the time frame of October the 10th, with 15 people needing to file petitions for this all to happen, what is the likelihood that this can happen at this point?
Anything can happen. Will it be successful? No. It's being set up for failure by rushing, not understanding timelines. I recall a committee meeting, and the charter committee had, I want to say, 15 chances to meet. They chose to meet 4 times, and one of those times was an organizational meeting where they set out a scope of what they wanted to do, what they wanted to accomplish, and what questions they wanted to ask. And one of those questions was what the mayor said as far as why and what problems are we fixing. But I think it was the 3rd meeting when they met, they wanted to bring forward the charter ordinance and pass it on to council. But they didn't have the right date. They copied from Lorraine. It was September 2020, and they had dates wrong. And I overheard, I don't know which council member it was, they couldn't think quickly enough on the fly. I heard one of them whisper, I don't even know what the deadline date is to even amend it. So that meeting kind of abruptly ended. So I just, everything they've done has not been anything to help themselves to make this successful.
This is the big question, and you just said it there. The mayor at one of these meetings asked why. Same question came up on June 28th when he was on this show. Why? Did he get a why? Has he gotten a why?
No, and I've asked that too. I've asked, what problem does the city of Marion have as a statutory city that a charter will fix? We've not gotten that. Well, like I said, when I said earlier that the first meeting, the organizational meeting of the scope, they laid out, I think, 6 or 7 different things they wanted to get answers to and figure out. They didn't even answer those 6 or 7 questions that they came up with themselves.
Why do you think that's happening?
Well, I think that some members of council thought it was just a foregone conclusion that we, as a party, the Republicans got the numbers and do whatever they want to do, and so they didn't really have to try to communicate why the need was there for a charter city. That's my thought. I don't know if that's accurate or not, but that's my perception of it.
Now, this was a question that came up yesterday that is city council divided along party lines? Now, we did get some statistics after Brett was on yesterday from City Hall that of the 79 pieces of legislation, I believe this year is what that was, 87 have passed unanimously, and that there really haven't been any party line votes with 3 Democrats and 7 Republicans on council. But as a council person, Republican, are there things, basically what you just described, that are party line votes?
This council term, I have yet to see any issue that came before us that is Republican or Democrat issue.
Is this that issue?
I don't think so. My opinion of charter cities is more of a Democrat leaning issue.
But being brought by a Republican.
That's the funny thing.
Yeah. Well, and I'm not asking you to speak for the mayor, but you've been a council person for a while, and certainly the mayor has been in office. And just on what you have seen, him standing up, asking why we need this, not getting an answer, and me telling you that on June 28th, he would not veto it because he says he doesn't understand what the need is at this point. And now that this looks like rushed legislation, do you think the mayor would let this go on? Just an opinion of knowing the man. Do you think that if the 2/3 vote did show up, that he would think, oh, okay, well, let's put this on the ballot?
If I was the mayor, if I was in the mayor's shoes right now and this was happening, I would not. I would veto it. Just because of how much time was given, and I wouldn't go for it at all.
Let's talk outside of the mayor here, because it does need a 2/3 vote. So they can only lose 3 votes. Now, yesterday when Brett and I talked, he did say that he believes right now Mike Thomas is a no vote. He's going to try to convince him, he said. But so let's say Mike Thomas is a no vote. That was really the only no vote that we could say for certain yesterday. Right. At this point, where are you?
Disappointed, because I had an opinion one way or the other as far as charter cities. As long as they can present to me a benefit or a problem that it's fixing. And in 6 months, 7 months, not got that answer. So I guess that would put me in the no column at this point.
Is there anything they could do before August the 10th with everything that's happened that could make you change that?
No. I don't want to say no, because I mean they can have some meetings and have actually good meetings and present why this is a great idea, what it's fixing, but the past 7 months they haven't demonstrated that. So will they do it in the next 3 weeks? I'm not going to hold my breath for that.
So if Mike Thomas remains a no vote and you are a no vote, they can only lose one more vote.
Already lost one more vote because they don't have Kai.
Oh, that's right. So that would be it.
Yep.
So basically, at this point, and we haven't talked to Mike, but that was Brett's opinion. Is that your understanding of Mike?
That's my understanding too. That because when I made the because as pro tem, I get to select who is on what committee, and when I put the committee members made the charter committee up. I talked to Mike, and I knew then he says absolutely not. He would not vote for a charter. So I made him vice chair because I thought that would spur some debate. That would generate discussion, because if you got a guy that wants it and a guy that doesn't want it, you kind of meet somewhere in the middle, or you flip the guy that doesn't want it or the guy that wants it gets flipped, and, yeah, this is a bad idea, then we accomplish something. But that idea didn't pan out.
So basically what you're saying at this point is that this is over, pretty much.
Yes, unless this is what I would like for them to do, is if they would pull that back. Why does it have to be on this general election? Why now? Because 7 months, they really didn't do a whole lot of, they didn't make a whole lot of effort to educate Marion, educate council members of the administration on why this is a great idea. Why not pull it back? And because as far as I know, you can have a special election just for a charter. So pull it back, regroup, and if it's something that you're still passionate about, something that there's still a campaign promise they want to fill or attempt to fill, regroup and start all over and make an actual presentation of why we need this.
Here's where the disconnect is, Jason. And after talking to Brett for 45 minutes yesterday, it was my full impression during that conversation that he believes he has presented why there should be a charter city. Yet,
well, he's probably right. Brett has been the only of the five guys, five committee members. He was the only one speaking in any and every committee. They only met four times. He was the only one talking. That's why I said I respect Brett for doing what he's doing. He's trying to fulfill a campaign promise. He's doing what he knows best. Of the committee, I believe he's the one with the least amount of council experience. And I'm disappointed in the others. They sat there and didn't say a word. Just kind of left Brett on his own. And I know two of the committee members, other than Brett, are really for charter cities. Why didn't they say anything? Mike Neff spoke on the last committee meeting, and he finally explained why he wanted it. And his reason was, which floored me, that with a charter city, you can put requirements for what an auditor needs to have to run for an auditor. Because the last auditor, Mr. Landon, I don't want to paraphrase what he said because I can't remember exactly, but Robert Landon was a failure, I think is what he said.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong here, and I might be wrong here, but wasn't Mr. Neff a supporter of Mr. Landon during that whole incident?
I believe so, but when the whole incident happened, he was one of the several that said absolutely nothing, and when they did say something, there was nothing to see here comment. So,
but now he has went on the record as of Monday saying that he was not the man for the job.
Not a good auditor.
Not correct. A good auditor. Now, see, do you think that's why people get angry at politicians?
That's why I do.
Yeah, so why does that happen, in your opinion?
I have no idea. No clue.
So, I guess in the final analysis here, you say Brett has conveyed why there should be a charter city. You've obviously heard that. So what Brett is saying at this point has not convinced you.
Right, yes.
Okay, so basically what we're saying here this morning is that this is pretty much, you know, to be straight with the listeners who are the voting public here in Marion, that because of Mike Thomas, because of yourself saying what you just said, how you'll vote, and Kai Mead resigning as of Friday, that no matter what happens, suspension of the rules, special meetings, whatever would happen between now and August the 10th, as far as this getting on the November ballot, that's not going to happen and wouldn't even involve a mayor's veto because of your and Mike Thomas's vote.
I would say that's accurate, yes.
So if somebody's listening to this right now on council who wanted to see this passed, what would you say to them?
I would say to them that if reach out to Mr. Cornelius, I believe Aaron Rollins was on the committee, Mike Neff, and even Mike Thomas, because Kai was on it, but he's since resigned, and talk to them and ask them to pull it back, regroup, and start fresh.
Now that we know, pretty much, let me start here before I ask this question. Do you think that you or Mike Thomas's mind could be changed in any way before August the 10th with the history of what has happened here?
I don't want to say no because, I mean, they come in with a compelling reason. I wish they would have done it in the 7 months up to this, but the past 7 months tells me that that's not going to happen.
Now, that being said, what caused the failure here? What made this not get on the ballot, is going to make this not get on the ballot this November?
If you have a big issue such as changing from a statutory city to a charter city and you only meet four times, right there's your failure.
And who do we blame that on? Because I believe the mayor has said this on the show, that there has been a problem with attendance in general at city council meetings. Have you seen that?
Yes, and that's like one of my little fun facts that when people come to council meeting, I ask them, do you know how many council meetings of, I believe we're up to 15 council meetings now, that we had full attendance? Everyone makes their guess, and then they're floored by the actual answer. And I believe the actual answer now is four. No, it may be five. It could be five. 5 out of 15, we had full attendance.
And is this medical related, or are people just not showing up?
Well, now we had COVID issue, and I myself, I missed 2 weeks ago because of COVID. But summer vacations. And again, this is me being non-filtered and direct. January 1, when some came in to council and a certain pro tem vote didn't go some council member's way, my opinion is, since it didn't go their way, some of them checked out and thought that, well, this term's done for me, so I'm just going to go through the motions. That's my opinion. That could be completely false, but that's, like I said, it's just how I feel.
Without pointing out any names here, obviously, because people can check the record, that's public, I believe, who's been there and who hasn't.
Yep.
These people
yep.
are still collecting a check, are they not?
Yes, and so I call it the Josh Daniels rule. Josh Daniels passed, I forget when it was, maybe 2015. A rule that a council member can't miss any more than, I want to say it's 3 meetings a year. And then on the 4th meeting, they have to pay back whatever that meeting salary is. Now, therein lies the problem. We can't withhold a paycheck. The council member has to write a check back to the city if they're on their 4th or 5th absence. There are council members that are in that territory right now.
Now, at this point, and again, I believe the mayor has said this as well, and I've heard this from other council people, as you sit there, and you've spoken to it here, council members seemingly don't understand the rules. One of the biggest issues this year was the whole a city employee contract that was up, and the COVID bonus, the $1,000 COVID bonus was there. Some people were for it, some people were against it, and in the end, it didn't even get a vote because it lapsed into yes because of a time frame of not voting, mm-hmm. and many people said they did not know that. Now, why is there I don't recall that happening a whole lot. Why is there, with this council, seemingly a lack of knowledge, I guess?
It goes back to my opinion of some of the council members that have checked out. I don't know if they didn't care to learn about an issue, didn't put in the effort. I don't know. I can't answer for them. I know that I don't have all the answers. And me being on council should set the bar pretty low for people to even speak and ask questions about an issue, because I'm probably the dumbest guy on council. So, I mean, they shouldn't feel shy or anything. It just if you want to be a council member, and I might model myself from Mike Thomas, because Mike Thomas, even though he's a Democrat, I don't believe it, don't align with a lot of his politics, but the guy's a good council member. He was great for the Third Ward, and I try to do the same thing now that I'm the Third Ward councilman. You answer phone calls, you give them answers to the questions they have. May not like them, but and then if they have an issue, you research the issue and figure it out.
Want to go back to this charter issue for a second here. In the beginning, you had said Mike Thomas would most likely not be somebody who would suspend the rules. You are on record as saying that, and you didn't feel that Ayers would do that either. When it comes to voting for the charter, the two-thirds vote, as you have said, because of Kai being gone as of Friday, if you and Mike both vote no, and it looks like that's going to happen, it's not going to pass. But have you heard rumblings from Ayers of how he's going to vote on this?
In past votes and past issues that we've had, Ayers has not voted to suspend rules on bigger issues. He typically will go the full three readings. So I would, based on that, I would venture to say that Ayers would be a no on any kind of suspension of rules. And as far as how he would vote directly on the charter, I think he's more of a leaning of no, we don't need a charter, because there's not been a real good case as to why we need the charter.
Not just party lines here, which we've talked about, but I know people who have been to council meetings who have said that they feel between the Republican Party, which has a supermajority, and even people who aren't on council, who are Republicans, that there seems to be some kind of, I don't want to say conflict, but there's some kind of issue between that party, the Republican Party, and the mayor himself. That there is not an open communication there, that things are withheld, people don't go to him, strictly because he's a Democrat. Is that accurate, the things we're hearing?
I definitely don't want to speak for the Republican Party as a party, because I have my issues with them myself. But if that is accurate, that's just sad.
Well,
aren't we all Republican or Democrat, Marion City and County? Don't we just want the best for that instead of our party? I do.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you feel there is great communication between the mayor and all of city council?
I know there, I believe, I would say there is between myself and the mayor. I mean, but other council members, I can't speak to that. I know on the several occasions the mayor stood up and said that he's reached out to certain council members and they not returned the phone call, or some issues came up and the council members not reached out to the mayor to let him know. Why that is, I don't know, and that's a reflection of those individuals.
Now, we know that you ran in the primary for a Republican county commissioner, but in a lot of cases, you said you don't attend the Republican party meetings anymore. Do you still consider yourself a Republican, or is this, at this point, I believe in the Republican beliefs, but I disagree with the Marion Party at this point?
Yeah, I'm a Republican. Whether I go to the meetings or not doesn't make me more or less of a Republican. It's the principles that you have to align yourself with. I mean, if you take away the Republican, look at what a Christian is now. Are you more of a Christian because you go to church? Or that argument doesn't make any sense to me, that I need to go to the Republican Party, go to their events, to be a good Republican. That's not for me.
Well, I guess where this comes two is because of your stances during the auditor situation, and maybe your stance in this particular situation, do you feel welcomed by the Republican Party at this point?
I don't need to feel welcomed by any of the party individuals because I do what's right, and that makes me welcome to the majority of the people. And that's all I care about.
Do you feel that, again, without any names, that there are other people in that party that are just voting the way the other Republicans are voting?
Oh, absolutely. I think some, and I'll get kind of specific, and there's some council members that are going for this charter because some other Republican told them it was a good idea. And I think that's probably most of the problem, that they was told something that they should do something, so, and they don't have any knowledge or foundation to push it along, and that's kind of why it seems like the charter thing is just floundering.
Why are things like that happening? That wasn't the creed of the Republican Party in Marion. I've never been to a meeting, but I don't know that that has been a thing in the past. What is going on now?
I don't know, but it's sometimes it feels like, because Republicans in the big picture have an advantage politically because of national and state politics. So it seems to me that there's been a push of, no matter who the person is, we have a vacancy, or we need a spot to run somebody, no matter who it is, let's get them and see what happens. And with Republican popularity, it just straight line Republican voters, and they just get elected.
With 4 minutes left to go here, I want to finish on this charter issue, because Brett Cornelius could be listening at this point. This was his baby, as you say. This was his campaign promise. He has been the one who has gotten up and spoken when other committee members did not. And basically this morning he's hearing that it's not happening in November. Now, you and Mike Thomas, and there could be others, could be Ayers, could be some Republicans who vote no, but just the fact that you and Mike are not going to vote for this ends it. What would you say to Brett at this point, because this is a big deal to him?
Yeah, I probably will call Brett, because we were supposed to meet over the weekend, and I don't know if he tried to reach out, or he got busy, or what, or I missed the call, but I would just tell Brett, it's if you push it, it will be over. It'll be harder if it fails to recoup and try it again. The best advice I can give him is to pull the ordinance back, put it back to committee, actually have a really good discussion, and if he wants, we can disband that committee, put different committee members on it that'll help on that committee, and then present a better case. And then if it's a good idea, great. Then he got buy-in from council, he got buy-in from the city, and then if it turns out that actually it's not the greatest idea, we're really not fixing anything, we're not benefiting from it, then at least we had a better try.
We have about 2 minutes left, Jason. Kai Mead will resign on Friday. He'll be done in the first ward. Have you heard any ideas as to who might be interested in that position?
No, I haven't. They don't tell me anything.
They don't cue you in on that.
They don't tell me anything. I don't, as far as, because it would have to be a Democrat, and I don't know who lives in the first ward that are prominent Democrats, like what's involved with the party or not.
It'd
be interesting.
Yeah. Well, with 60 seconds left to go, the mayor's running for state treasurer. As you said, politics in Ohio tend to be leaning Republican at this point. Do you think the mayor's got a shot? We're getting closer and closer.
I think everyone's got a shot. I know the mayor is a good campaigner. I know he when he's running for mayor, he actually goes door to door, which I was floored when I found that out. I didn't think that someone else from there would actually go door to door, but he does. And I don't know if he campaigns effectively. I don't know how this abortion, the Supreme Court abortion thing, affects people. If that's a big deal, or if it's gas prices and groceries going up that'll affect people's votes. So, and unfortunately, those issues are not in the favor of Democrats. So.
Would you say at this point in Ohio, it's likely that he would be elected at this point?
That it's likely that he would be elected. That he would
be elected to state treasurer. Yeah.
No, he has his work cut out for him.
Do you think he'll carry Marion County, which has not went Democrat in a statewide election for quite some time?
I would hope so. I mean, he's a local. I mean,
this is the
kind of guy to look past the. But then again, there's some staunch Republicans and staunch Democrats that can't see past party. But I would like to think he will.
Jason, I appreciate your candor because I think it's important, because what we learned this morning is that pretty much the Charter City for this November, for the August 10th deadline, is not going to happen because of two votes. So it's
I believe that's not going to happen.
So it's informative for the city and informative to the people listening. Thank you, Jason.
Yes, thank you, sir.
Bye-bye. Jason Schauber, 3rd Ward City Councilman. And that's the story today, and I'm sticking to it. All right, Scott Spears heading for the dugout. Glenn Coble coming up next.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, your place for the latest news in politics. From Scott Spears at the 2016 Republican National...